the most interesting thing to me as a researcher is to hear people's stories about what life was like and how they managed to escape enslavement and what it took.
That's Robin Krawitz, president of the Underground Railroad Coalition of Delaware. She says fugitive narratives have played an important role in preserving the stories of slavery, escape, and beyond.
Sometimes they would sit down with local abolitionists where they ended up, and they would go ahead and write it down for them, because a lot of these people were illiterate. And what the purpose of them was to, number one, highlight how awful slavery was, because that's, of course, as an abolitionist, that's the first thing you want people to know. And number two, it is about helping to raise money for these people, for the cause, and that's what these stories help to do.
Solomon Bailey authored his own fugitive narrative in 1825 after he had already escaped to freedom. His narrative came in the form of a 40-some page booklet, a common format for those stories.
Why are the ones that survive? Luck of the draw.
That's Peter Dalio, a researcher for the Delaware Historical Society's Center for African American Heritage. Bailey was born into slavery in Kent County, Delaware in the 1770s. After his slave owner, originally from Virginia, dies, Bailey and his family are moved to Virginia.
That was all legal to do, but then the owner sold the slaves out of state in Virginia, which was illegal.
Bailey was sold to a family living close to Richmond and was separated from his family members. But on his way there, he makes his escape.
Solomon slips out of the carriage, the wagon, and hides.
Solomon's escape journey doesn't stop there.
Solomon Bailey's story is just amazing to me because of the many modes that he chose to escape.
That's Debbie Martin with the Underground Railroad Coalition. She also worked with Dalio to publish sections of fugitive narratives from Delaware.
Solomon Bailey went from Richmond in a boat with another person down the James River to the Chesapeake and up the peninsula, and mentioned a couple of places, Nandu and Hunting Creek, and we can actually put them on a map in the Virginia part of the peninsula. How he got through Maryland, we have no idea. And then he ended up at a place called Anderson's Crossroads.
Dalio says Bailey also documented other key events, like making his way back to Virginia to bring his mother to freedom and efforts to purchase his son Spence's freedom at an auction.
And the tension in that is tremendous, where because he's got people bidding against him, against Solomon for Spence, and it looks like Solomon's going to lose him. But fortunately, someone in the crowd helps Solomon.
Eventually, however, Solomon's slave owner catches up with him.
And he says, Solomon, you know, you're going to have to pay me, or you're going to have to do something because I own you. And Solomon says, that's not fair. And he says, I'm going to start a lawsuit against you.
They ultimately strike an agreement, with Solomon working for a while longer to pay for his freedom. Then, just a few years after Bailey's first fugitive narrative booklet is published, he and his wife Tamar move to Africa.
Which is a whole other story, but it's part of his narrative, where he was inspired by a merchant in New England, Captain Paul Cuffey.
Cuffey wanted to get Liberians back to Africa to help settle Sierra Leone.
The Back to Africa movement was not well received in many parts of Delaware by whites or by blacks.
Bailey later published a second, much shorter narrative in 1833 describing his life in Liberia.
It's more of a come and visit. These are the things that you can grow, and these are the things you can eat, and these are the things you can't eat.
According to Dalio, Bailey intended to train Liberians to become Christian capitalists.
But it's also very useful to find out that the narratives in general, but to find out their selfhood, how they're actually surviving this, what made them as people.
Bailey's spirituality played an important role throughout his life, and he eventually became a Methodist preacher in Liberia. His spirituality shows up in letters he sent to his friend Joseph Bringhurst in Wilmington. In one of those preserved letters, Bailey says,
"Did I say I was joyful? Yes. to think of that good hand of providence that appeared unto me in the wilderness when I was sent away to the back country to be sold from my wife and my firstborn son.
Bringhurst was an abolitionist and friend of Thomas Garrett, and also involved in the American Colonization Society, a Quaker society focused on repatriation to Africa. The correspondence between Bailey and Bringhurst also included business of the day, lists of items Bailey would like to purchase, along with inventories of goods sent to Liberia. They also detail agricultural struggles, with Bailey talking about how local crops were not as easily shipped like wheat or corn in America. And at times, the letters indicate life in Africa wasn't easy for Bailey.
It seems like the time has come to ask who is on Lord's side, seeing the people are so much one against another.
Still, Bailey and his wife remained in Africa until their death. Bailey's 1825 fugitive narrative pamphlet and select letters sent to Bringhurst from Africa are preserved in University of Delaware's special collections and currently on display at UD's Morris Library. For Delaware Public Media, I'm Megan Pauley.
Yeah.